Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
In Paul's missionary work, he ordained elders in the newly formed churches. At the same time, he retained a definite oversight, issuing some decrees for to keep. His epistles reflect his concern and control of the various congregations. In my opening message on 1 Corinthians, I pointed out that Paul supported what he taught in Corinth by referring to what he taught in all churches. I'm emphasizing that the epistle of 1 Corinthians is not a provincial epistle. It is for the church, and I would like to tell you it is for the church today. That holds a clear possibility that Paul considered he had a leadership role to give direction to a number of congregations, reaching even beyond his time. No one in the congregation, in fact no congregation, was expected to go it alone. There was what we now call the community of faith. And yet there was and is a personal accountability, as Paul writes in Romans 14:12. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 16, 1-12 for my message, Counsels for the Local Congregation. Here now is the Word of God. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Here we have several down-to-earth counsels which the local church or congregation should follow. The first counsel is, collect the offering for the saints. Did you notice how the chapter began, how the Apostle Paul wrote it? Now, concerning the collections for the saints, you know what? They had no government entitlement, no welfare state of any kind, political at least. Christians were to help Christians. That is still a very good principle, and one that the congregation can well follow. They were to give consideration to the saints in Jerusalem. There is teaching about stewardship here as well. There are several principles involved. He said, on the first day of the week, you are to lay by in store. So there is to be a regularity, a regular schedule, the first day of the week. Another principle that is involved here is percentage giving, as God has prospered him. What God has given him is now the way he determines what returns he gives to God. While the tithe is not specifically mentioned here, there is a percentage in giving, quite clearly implied. And there was advanced preparation. When Paul comes, it will be all together, so there need not be any gathering. No gathering. Well, was there a church treasury? In other words, when they brought their offerings on the first day of the week, did they deposit them in a church treasury? Some commentators believe that this was to be a family project, that the father, as head of the house, would hold the funds at home. But there was also here a designation of responsibility. He said he would commit the offering to whomever they would recommend to take the offering to Jerusalem, to the saints in Jerusalem. He said, if necessary, he would go along. But he was hoping the congregation would be able to select persons of reputable standing to take the offering to Jerusalem. I believe here is an excellent counsel for your congregation today as you collect the offering. Collect it for a purpose. There's one thing I have problems with in many of the congregations today. They have a budget. So when they receive the offering, the congregation does not know what the offering is being used for. Well, they say, we have a budget. But the Apostle Paul said, now when you receive this offering, you designate it for the poor in Jerusalem. That's nice, I think. The second counsel directs our minds as to how to coordinate travel plans. Now you might think, this is hardly anything to have to do with local congregation. But just a moment. The apostle said he was planning to go to Macedonia. Macedonia was in the north, north to him at least, when he was there in Ephesus, and he was in Ephesus because he said he was going to stay there in Ephesus until Pentecost. So Macedonia was northwest of Ephesus across the Aegean Sea. Do you remember how he came on his second missionary journey to Troas? And had the vision of the man from Macedonia saying, come to Macedonia and help us. And they went immediately. Looking at the map and the history in the book of Acts, we can see that Macedonia included the towns of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. Later, he wrote letters to Philippi and Thessalonica. They were the churches he established on his second missionary journey. To go to Corinth through Macedonia was probably the best route, especially in view of the fact that the churches were there. He would probably take ship from Ephesus to Macedonia, go overland to Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, and then take ship along the coast to Athens. Well, that's the way he went the first time. The believers helped him to escape from Berea and take ship to Athens. That probably was the best route. And then overland to Corinth. And he said he was going to stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. That tells me something about Paul. He recognized the religious calendar. Pentecost, of course, was an Old Testament feast day. That was when they brought their first fruits and offered them to the Lord in the temple. It became a Christian holiday after the coming of the Holy Spirit. You may remember in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, the feast of the first fruits. And there was another reason why he wanted to stay in Ephesus. There was an open door, he said. Let me read it for you right here in verse 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Ephesus was a very important center for the Apostle Paul, but it was also the center of idol worship. His first visit there created a riot, but he wanted to go back, because there was a great open door. We get a look into the measure of Paul's zeal. Nothing seemed to turn him back. It is a great challenge to me. So the second counsel is coordinate your travel plans subject to divine guidance. The third counsel is care for visiting preachers. He names two, Timothy and Apollos. Timothy was Paul's understudy. He found him in the town of Derbe on the second missionary journey. But he had referred to him before in this letter. And that's in the 4th chapter and the 17th verse. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. As I teach everywhere in every church, he had great confidence in Timothy, although he was a young man. He was a young man with purpose and stability. So he told the Corinthians to give him due respect. Do not let his youth turn you off. The second brother he referred to was Apollos. Apollos was known for his silver-tongued oratory. He was a very effective speaker. But he was also the cause of parties forming in Corinth, as the first few chapters in the book reveal. Apollos first came into view at Ephesus. Apollos was born in Alexandria. Alexandria was a town in Egypt, built by Alexander the Great 300 years before Christ. But Apollos had come to Asia, and he was supported by the brethren. He was instructed by Aquila and Priscilla. He was a compelling speaker. The Apostle Paul seemed to regret that he was not willing or ready to adjust his itinerary that would take him to Corinth, but he would come when it was convenient for him. These two fellow servants with Paul he recommended highly. Trusted preachers are to be cared for and respected for their teaching and their ministry. You agree with me, don't you, that Paul's counsels are to the point for any congregation, even in our day? To rephrase them, I say, plan your stewardship with regularity and proportionately. Plan your itinerary with regard for the advancing of the witness of the gospel. Finally, plan your reception of traveling preachers with care, making sure they are faithful servants of Christ. I say these are good counsels for a 20th century congregation. Now, join me in prayer. Father, again, I want to thank Thee that the book of God is so rich and so practical. I thank Thee, Father, for the Apostle Paul's writings that I was talking about. I ask, dear Lord, as members of the congregation, if my friend is a member of a congregation, then help us to take these counsels seriously and seek to build up the congregation of which we are a part. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
My friend, Dr. Yoder presented some very practical things that local church congregations need to do. I'd like to help you better understand just how important these things are. All the messages in our series of study from 1 Corinthians are printed in a paperback book called Glory in the Lord. I urge you to get a copy of this book. That way, you'll have the message you just heard to read and study on your own. To get your copy of the book, Glory in the Lord, just write and ask for it. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or log on to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send an email with your request for Dr. Yoder's book. Again, to receive your copy of Glory in the Lord, just write and ask for it by that title. This will be a valuable resource in helping you understand the entire New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. The title again is Glory in the Lord, and we'll send a copy to you when you write and ask for it. The mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Again, Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. When Dr. Yoder returns next week to bring the concluding message in our study of 1 Corinthians, I hope you'll join us as we learn about working together. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.